Undisputed.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the world. How you know?
It can be anyone but you, man. Anyone but you. And to the rest of the world, say your prayers. Lock your doors. The family has returned. Run.
With your host,
here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Yeah, kitty, kitty.
You forgot to say please.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
My boobs are real.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Bad things happen to bad people, and good things happen to good people. Good people like me. All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action needs. And our awesome new friends over at Gerwick.net, because sponsor! Awesome! I am the host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me is my ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sorokin.
We are here, we are live across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network on a variety of different websites, including WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, PWMania.com, and now our all-new sponsor, Gerwick.net. Fine folks over there, Steve Gerwick, has invited us to become part of his website on a weekly basis, and for the first time since before Thanksgiving, we are actually live doing a show.
Yes, I'm back from assignment, y'all. I'm back.
She's back from assignment. There are no holidays. Well, there are holidays coming up, so we won't be. This is our only time in December live, but we're going to make it worth it tonight on the show. You can interact with us live at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, at Rack Radio Show on Twitter, at Lindsay Ward on Twitter, or join us in our interactive chat room at Wild Talk Radio, RackRadioShow.com, and on Gerwick.net. You can join us all places there to interact with us live throughout the evening as we talk wrestling, and some occasional football.
Yes, because for at least one more week, football is on Thursday night, so you will hear interjections of football as we discuss wrestling, and tonight is the classic battle between ketchup and mustard, a.k.a. the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the St. Louis Rams, and the Rams are up 21-3 with about 12 minutes left in the third quarter.
So ketchup has a lot of catching up to do.
Come on, ketchup! Actually, no, I need ketchup to lose because they're in my division. Lose! Lose!
Well, that's what your Falcons have been doing for a long time.
Yeah, I know. They broke the Iron Sheik's heart. We don't want to talk about it.
No, she's in Atlanta. I'm in Philly. I'm an Eagles fan, all Philly sports fans. She likes the Falcons and the Braves. And yeah, so you can talk about it with us with that. What we do on this show, because we should explain to the new people who might be listening to the show for the very first time, what we do.
Well, explain away, because you're better at it than I am.
I know, I'm better at these things than she is. What we do on a weekly basis, we give you what people are talking about. We give you the latest news presented by Gerwick.net, all the latest headlines that are making the rounds. We'll talk about them on the show. What interests us, mainly, we'll bring to you. Every week, we will give you the NXT report. recap what goes on a weekly show, on a weekly basis of what happens on the NXT on the WWE Network. And then monthly we recap every WWE pay-per-view. Used to do TNA's, but TNA doesn't run any pay-per-views at this point, so...
Yeah.
So the ones that...
And they don't run TV either, so...
Yeah, you know. We'll catch some of their TV from now on Pop TV. We'll give you all the latest news you can handle from TNA as well. Presented by the folks at TNAsylum.net. And from time to time, we give you a discussion or two about what interests us in pro wrestling. Whether it's the Wyatt family, which it sometimes usually is, to, you know, the Divas, what's going on with the Divas Revolution, or just one of the Divas in particular, whatever we choose, Kane, Undertaker, anything. The big story of the week, we like to talk about it in a long-form discussion. That's how this show goes. So we do news, NXT, and a discussion at some point. So that's what we do.
And we have our lighthearted moments of Tweet of the Week, which we also do, which is a lot of fun, at least for us.
It is for us. It's a way to be lighthearted and not so serious, because wrestling is serious at times, but it's supposed to be a lot of fun, and that's what we do on this show. We have fun.
And we're not serious people at all.
No. We have to be, when we need to be serious, we're serious, but when we're not, when we don't have to be, we try not to be. There's a lot of inside jokes you'll never understand.
Just go with it.
Just go with them. If you're a first-time listener, just go with it. We have fun. It is what it is. That's the deal.
So, speaking of that, we have a lot to get into. We have news. We have, well, two shows we have to talk about, because TLC was this past Sunday, and last night, or I should say yesterday afternoon, was NXT TakeOver Live from London, or, well, replayed semi- not really live from London, depending on what time you watch, but TakeOver was yesterday, so we're going to talk about that. And I say we dive right into the news brought to you by Gerwick.net.
Let's get into it. What are people talking about this week?
Well, I think one of the biggest stories, if not the biggest this week, because there wasn't a lot going on,
no,
was that Mauro Ranallo has become the lead announcer for SmackDown.
Yeah, starting on the brand new SmackDown on the USA Network this January. He'll be the voice of SmackDown, and he did a couple interviews with SI and a variety of other places, and he was talking about what's to come with the new SmackDown. He mentioned at one point it's going to be a mixture of Raw and NXT, which kind of was curious to me. Like, take the elements of what the flagship of Raw is and mix it to what the quality of the NXT program is, a little bit more squashes and more promoting who the talent is. I can see that.
I'm in for that.
I'm in for that. Because NXT does delivers quality wrestling on a weekly basis, and it's more in-ring heavy, and you kind of need that balance, and if they can find the right balance, especially in a two-hour show with SmackDown, I think that's a good move. And go ahead.
I was going to say, I like that they're kind of mixing things up with it.
Because they have to.
But they're being given a chance, they're going to a new network, they're getting their chance really to sort of revamp the show, redo it, make the product fresh and exciting for new viewers. I like the idea. I like that we're getting a new lead announcer. I like that they're potentially going to change the format up a little bit. I would be interested to know if Hunter is going to be involved in any of the booking decisions for SmackDown, or if that's still going to fall primarily to Vince.
It will always end with Vince, but you never know who has more of an influence going forward. We'll have to see. Michael Cole was the one who reached out to Mauro Ranallo to bring him aboard. For those who don't know who he is, he did New Japan on Access Television, which got rave reviews. He also has done work for Showtime and HBO and Boxing. That's where he comes from. And he's a Canadian as well. So we know our friend Tim Stein, the Canadian, as we call him, is very excited that there's another Canadian involved in WWE.
First Renee Young, now Mauro Ranallo.
Actually, and you add Kyle Edwards, aka the former Art O'Cal. Those three did a show called Right After Wrestling on the score, and now they all work for WWE.
Oh, please put them together. Please put them together. I want to see that.
That would be a nice trio to have. Hell, that could be that would be a nice trio for SmackDown. It's a different voice.
It is.
It'd be an all-Canadian voice, but it'd be different. And that just brings up a good, interesting thing in my mind. What if Renee Young becomes the commentator alongside Mauro Ranallo on SmackDown?
I'd be okay with that.
I don't think that's going to happen, but that would be different.
I know at one point she was doing main event.
Superstars, maybe? one of them?
She's doing one of the C shows, and like they were testing her out as an announcer to see how she did. And I don't know if she did poorly or not, but I mean, I would be curious to see what she would do on SmackDown or even Raw for that matter, because she also used to commentate on NXT as well, and she's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I really enjoyed her when she did her work down in NXT because she was. What it is, it's a fresh, different voice. And it's not to knock Jerry Lawler, Booker T, or JBL, or anyone else, but it's always nice to have a new voice telling you the same story, because they tell it from a different perspective. Why people get annoyed with Michael Cole is he's been around 18 years telling the same story. Wrestling tells the same general story over and over again, but when you have a new voice telling you the story, it sounds fresh. You know?
Oh yeah. And also it's a female voice.
Yes.
Which we've never had really on commentary in WWE. And because they're trying to attract that female audience, especially mothers with children who are interested in the product, it's a good way to pull women in, to have a female commentator, because women can then relate to the female commentator. Little girls have someone to look up to in the commentator if they so desire. It's just, it adds that female voice and makes the product a little bit more gender neutral, if you will. I don't know if that's the right terminology for it, but it adds that different flavor to it.
It's a nice balance.
Yes, it's a nice balance. It's a good way to put it.
Ronaldo will also be doing some backstage work on Monday night at Raw as well.
All right.
So that clears up what that is. When I heard the news, I was like, oh, okay. That sounds different. It's different. And I like that they're going to go something different. Because they have their formula, the way they do things, without the answers. So you're bringing in a guy who hopefully does not come in like Mike Adamly did and botch everything. Please.
No.
Please. I don't think he will, but please, please, please don't happen. Please.
No, they'll give him a test run before they put him on air.
Oh, yeah.
I think they learned their lesson with Adamly.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be, he's going to be following Michael Cole around for the next couple weeks before the live debut, debut on SmackDown. Speaking of SmackDown and live, that's next Tuesday. They're live as a part of WWE week.
Yes, on USA, it kicks off with Santa's Little Helper, I think, on Sunday. Then we have Raw on Monday, SmackDown Live on Tuesday, Tribute to the Troops on Wednesday. So, WWE Week on USA, it's here. Yay!
I'm actually interested in watching Santa's Little Helper, and if they didn't make a change on the football schedule, I would have been watching it.
They made a change on the football schedule?
They moved the Eagles to 8:30 that night, so Eagles have priority that night.
Who are they playing?
The Cardinals.
Really?
Hey, we have a chance. Slim one, we have a chance.
Really?
We have a slim chance.
Okay.
We do. Hey, we beat the Patriots.
I don't know how you beat the Patriots, but yes, you beat the Patriots.
We are a special team, and that's how we beat them. Special teams.
Right.
We did. We did. Punts, returns, you know, we had good special teams.
Tom Brady must have had a really bad night.
Well, probably did. But, yeah, so, looking forward to it. Probably DVR the movie and watch it at some point. But yeah, Slammy Awards on Monday, that should be a lot of fun. Tribute to the Troops, always a lot of fun. And SmackDown being live, a lot of fun. So, there you go.
And speaking of the Slammy Awards, they are opening the voting up to Twitter for the first time ever. So you can vote via Twitter, via Facebook. You just hashtag it out. And everybody is up for Superstar of the Year, so you can vote for whomever you want on the active roster. Yeah. So, yeah. Go for it.
I think you just have to use the hashtag Superstar and hashtag Slammy.
Yeah. Or Slammy Awards, I think.
One of the two. There's more information on www.com how they exactly vote for it. But yeah, you can vote for whoever you want for Superstar of the Year. A lot of people are trying to get certain people going to win. Kevin Owens says vote for someone else because he already knows he's already the Superstar of the Year. Dean Ambrose made an interesting video.
Dean Ambrose made a video where he's like, come on, vote for me because the authority will hate it.
Right?
I love how that's his justification. It's like, let's just piss off the authority because why not?
Because that's what Dean Ambrose does, likes to do.
I love Dean Ambrose so much.
So yeah, vote for the Slammies. They're up, and many awards will be given out on Monday and on the pre-show on the WWE Network as well. We will be counting down our top moments of the year on Pop Goes the Rack, the New Year's Eve Countdown Special, which will be available on Rack Radio Show, Wild Talk Radio, and Garrick.net on New Year's Eve, giving our opinions there for what we thought was the best match, best moment, and Superstar and Diva of the Year as well.
Yes. And don't forget, next week for Christmas, we're doing Ask the Rack, which you can submit your questions, be it via Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, email, Skype if you want to call us. We do take phone messages, whatever. We'll fill you in a little bit later on that. But next week is Ask the Rack, so don't forget about that. But speaking of the WWE Network, we have news that the network will be launching January 5th in Japan.
Yeah, they're doing the same over-the-top model as we have in the States, so it's $9.99 US, whatever that translates in Japan, will be the price available on January 5th.
Yes. And Total Divas is returning on January 19th, so
we gotta talk
Rack
about
Extra.
The Rack Extra, yes. We also do a program called The Rack Extra where we review Total Divas, which is a lot of fun, because what we do for The Rack Extra is we sit there and we watch a show live and commentate along the way.
React to the show live.
But yeah, speaking of Total Divas, it returns for its explosive fifth season on Tuesday, January 19th, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. The Bell Twins, Eva Marie Page, and Natalia Rosa Mendez, Alicia Fox, will continue to give viewers an exclusive glimpse outside the arena, inside life in WWE Spotlight. Joining the Divas this season is the young and beautiful Mandy, the runner-up on the most recent season of Tough Enough, who brings her own flavor to the already vibrant group. Now Mandy must prove she can hold her own amongst the veteran divas in their highly competitive world. This season, Brie has a lot of conflict with her sister Nikki as their lives and career go in different directions. They don't see eye to eye on a huge business venture, and when Nikki gets injured during the final days of her WWE Divas Champion, it leaves the Bella Twins' career in question. Brie has to contemplate her next career move and life move, while Nikki wrestles with coming clean to her boyfriend, WWE superstar John Cena, as there's a touchdown on the board for Mustard, about the romantic advances made towards her ex-boyfriend by her ex-boyfriend, WWE superstar Dolph Ziggler. The love triangle puts John and Nikki's relationship to the test. Eva Marie continues to thrive with her in-ring training, despite the constant polarization from the other divas. Alright, that's an interesting way to put it. Paige confesses her true feelings about the quick engagement to her fiancé. Rosa faces the challenge of finding purpose in her new professional life while pregnant with her first child. Alicia ventures into a new romantic relationship. We were just talking about that the other night. There you go. Natty continues to work through the trials and tribulations of marriage while grappling with the feeling that younger divas' careers are flourishing more than hers. Mandy comes into the division wide-eyed and eager to fit in, only to find out that in order to make it as a WWE diva, you need to be more than just a pretty face to earn the respect of your fellow performers and fans alike.
Yeah.
So that is the preview from E for the new season of Total Divas. Interesting stuff.
I'm a little disappointed, honestly, that they took Naomi off the show, because let's be honest, she's the voice of reason.
She is indeed the voice of reason.
She and John are the voice of reason. I will never forget Paige getting into it with somebody in the car, and Naomi's just like standing there narrating, and John's standing there filming it, and it's like, oh, this is classic. And Emma's like just lost.
Emma's lost, yeah.
But yeah, so Total Divas, January 19th, Rack Extra. Cannot wait.
Same here.
Quick congratulations to The Rock, as he and his girlfriend, or rather his girlfriend, have given birth to a bouncing baby girl. So big congratulations to them.
Yes, very, very big congratulations to them. The Rock has had a girl with his longtime girlfriend of like 9 years. He doesn't talk about her, but yeah, they've been together 9 years. So congratulations to them.
Yes. Quick note on Daniel Bryan. It seems that, well, he won't be coming back in the near future, as apparently he was offered a commentating role on NXT, and he turned that down.
As well as being a trainer.
Which is interesting that he would turn down being a trainer, but I guess it's he doesn't want to be in Florida. He didn't, because they live out in Arizona, so they would potentially have to move.
One part of it. The other thing is, if he accepts either role, it sort of pegs him in that role. he now is no longer a wrestler. He's now a trainer or an announcer. He's not Daniel Bryan, pro wrestler, which is what he wants to be.
Oh, I get that's what he wants to be, but let's be completely realistic. They have no intention of clearing him.
No, because they can't. Because honestly, with all the lawsuits going on, and say 10 years from now, he has symptoms from what's happened in his career, WWE would be screwed because they let him compete.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I completely agree with that. I mean, I understand this is what he wants to do. This is what he's always wanted to do, and he wants to get back in that limelight, especially with the talent that's up on the roster right now, because he would do really well with a lot of the guys that are coming up from NXT right now. But it's also at the same time, you have to take your health into account. And while I understand he's been cleared by an independent neurologist, WWE may have a stricter set of guidelines, similar to what the NFL is.
No, in fact, he was cleared by the NFL doctor.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, that was the independent guy he saw. He saw an independent doctor who works for the NFL. They cleared him. But if you're WWE and your guy says no, you cannot go against your guy.
No, you can't go against your guy. And also, he kind of shot himself in the foot because he admitted in his book he's concussion prone. So,
yeah.
You know, it's even if he is okay from this one, which I'm sure he is, what happens when he gets the next one or the one after that?
Exactly.
You know, all it takes is one good concussion and you're done.
And they can't risk it.
They're not going to.
Nor should they.
Nor should they. I mean, they're trying to take his health into account, which I know a lot of people don't like. And I feel kind of bad for him. Actually, I feel more than kind of. I feel really bad for him because it's like he's in a really awkward position. He was on top of the world, and then he got injured, and he tried to rehab it, and he did, and he came back, and then he got re-injured again, and he's been on the shelf ever since. And it's just, he can't get back. It's like he's finally found that professional success, and he just can't move forward. He's stuck.
He's stuck. He can't enjoy it. And there's one thing he loves to do, and that's wrestle. And he can't do it right now. And 2 years from now, his contract will be up, and maybe he'll be able to get back in the ring then, elsewhere, if WWE lets him go from that contract.
Well, I mean, they can't make him sign a new one.
No, but they could offer him a good deal, saying, here's a bunch of money, come do this for us. Think about your future kid, think about your wife. That's what he's got to think about.
Yeah, now he's got to think about Brie, and especially if they have kids in the next 2 years, which in all likelihood they probably will. He's got to think about his family and taking care of his family at that point, because if he gets hurt, he gets seriously injured and to the point that he needs specialized care or he needs constant care, then they're going to have to do, you know, they're going to be stuck because it's, well, Bree's going to then be the breadwinner.
Right. And whether he likes it or not, they're doing the best thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the best thing for his long-term health. They see his future 20 years from now while he's thinking, okay, right now I want to get back in the ring, I want to wrestle. But they're looking out for him I know he knows it, but it's realizing it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it sucks. It really, genuinely sucks because he's stuck.
Yeah.
And he's in a really awkward position right now. So I get why he turned it down. I don't necessarily think, though, that it's the smartest choice to turn it down, because at least it gives you something to do.
Yeah, it does.
You know, it's because right now I think he's sitting at home and he's not doing anything.
He does the PR stuff once in a while for them. They send him out to different countries, which is why he did this interview. He was out in a different country doing the interview, so it's like he does things from here and there, but yeah, he's home a lot.
Yeah, so, well, no more Daniel Bryan, at least for a little bit. Darn. But hopefully he feels better, or hopefully they change their mind, circumstances change, whatever, and they let him come back. But till then, I guess we have to keep waiting.
We're going to have to keep waiting to see what happens with the future of Daniel Bryan. And speaking of futures, what's becoming more clear for the man they call Sting?
Yeah, and it's not a happy future, at least in terms of his wrestling career. Sting did an interview, and he admitted that, well, he does in fact need neck surgery, and there's a very distinct possibility that his career is over at this point, which is very, very, very unfortunate for a lot of people, including him.
Yeah, he was on Ric Flair's podcast, and they were talking about the injury and how he needs to go to the WWE's guy in Pittsburgh, and he's going to probably most likely have the fusion surgery, which he doesn't really want to have, but he's going to need to get. And at 50-something years old, it's probably it for him. It has to be it for him.
Because, yeah, because, I mean, there's just no coming back.
No, John Cena came back, but he was 30-something when he got his neck surgery. Kurt Angle came back, and you see all the problems he's had. Edge came back, and you saw at the last possible, you saw how it gave out on him. They said, no, you're done.
Yeah, I mean, it's something at 50-something, and it's very similar to Daniel Bryan. It's like, I get this is what you want to do. I completely understand that, but your health. You have to, at this point, consider your health, and you can't play with it.
And I think first thing he realizes, because let's think about it, he's in his 50s, he's had his career. For Daniel Bryan, on the other hand, he was in the prime of his.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I get that. But Edge was also in the prime of his.
Yeah. But at least for Edge, Edge knew his career was going to wind down at some point. He was actually preparing for a year later. It just happened that quick that it ended for him. So that's what that is. So hopefully Sting recovers and we'll see him again. Hopefully they send him into a Hall of Fame at some point as well.
I'm thinking probably next year, just as a way to have him be a part of WrestleMania, because I think they had planned on him being a part of it this year, but circumstances did not work out due to injuries.
And he could, even if he has the surgery, he could still be a part of the show. Not wrestling, but a part of the show. Make an appearance or whatever.
Which may be slightly better than wrestling because, again, right. Your health.
Yeah, your health at this point. Right now, you need to go into the Shawn Michaels role. If you want to show up, come and show up and do talk and do woo and everything. But actually have matches with guys like Seth Rollins. That's probably out the window.
Although they put on a heck of a match.
They did. They did put on a heck of a match at Night of Champions. That they did. It was a brutal match for Sting, looking back at it, but yeah. It's a good match.
And speaking of, well, injuries and next. Shaky futures and everything else, I hate to end it on this note, but we've got one last big story. And if you watched Raw this past week, you noticed that a certain Brit was missing from the League of Nations.
Before you say anything,
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
I'm waiting for that. Seems that, well, King Barrett is going to have to chillax on his throne for a little bit because he has been added to the injured list. It's getting longer and longer and longer by the day. Because Wade Barrett, I think, is out with either shoulder or neck injuries.
And conflicting reports, it looks like he has a neck nerve issue in his neck. He's going to be rehabbing it for a little while. He's still around, but he won't be doing anything physical. He was on SmackDown, but didn't do anything for the physical nature. One other injury note, Stardust is recovering from some sort of herniation of some sort. He's just going to rehab it and go, according to his Twitter.
So, feel better, guys. Feel better. Come back.
It's that time of the year where everybody's getting hurt.
Man, they can't afford any more injuries.
No, they really, really
otherwise
can't.
It's going to be sound guys versus camera guys, you know?
Very, very true.
But, all right, well, I say we take our first break of the evening. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Okay. When we come back, y'all, we are going to be talking about Sunday's exciting TLC Tables, Ladders, and Chairs pay-per-view. We'll let you know who won, who lost. We'll break it down for you, all that fun, happy stuff. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's that time once again to spread some holiday cheer and jingle all the rack.
Ho, ho, ho!
Our Christmas special is closing in, and we are looking for questions from all of you for our favorite Ask the Rack.
Have you been naughty or nice?
Whether it's holiday-related, wrestling-related, or even if you want to take a shot or two at King Kittens.
This year, you're getting a lump of coal.
Wait. No. That's just our job. You ask it, we answer it, which is why it's Ask the Rack. You can submit your questions via Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Lins Ward, LANSWRD, or at Rack Radio Show, or you can email them to us, media@wildtalkradio.com. Deadline for questions is December 22nd. Don't forget, December 22nd. Join us for Jingle All the Rack this Christmas right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
The pain of heart, this night ain't for the pain of heart, cause the pain of heart gon' fall apart.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And our new friends over at Gerwick.net. Go there for all your news and notes needs, I guess. We need to come up with a slogan for Gerwick.net.
We'll work on it. We got a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll work on it. We'll take care of that. So now we're going to kind of switch format up a little bit. We're going to talk about Sunday's TLC, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. This was kind of a fun show.
This was a fun show, and it started out really, really good with the pre-show. I mean, everyone's like, what? The pre-show was good?
Oh, the pre-show was excellent.
Why was the pre-show?
Go back and watch the pre-show. The pre-show just...
Yeah.
Yes.
The pre-show was good for two reasons. Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks.
Sasha Boo.
Simple as that. They had a match on the pre-show. It was really, really good. They gave the girls some time. They went back and forth for a long time. Becky worked over the arm of Sasha for the early part. She attempted to drive her shoulder into Sasha. Sasha moved. Becky hit the post and did her double stomp, which was pretty nice. Sasha hit a backcracker into a cross-arm submission. And this is where I can say something. Not the bank statement, Michael Cole. Learn your moves. They traded pinfalls for a while. Sasha got out of the choke. Becky locked in a cross arm bar, not the disarmer. She eventually got the disarmer locked in, but originally it was not the disarmer. Michael Cole, learn your moves. Team bed with a distraction. Sasha hit the bank statement that time for the win. Good match.
Great match. These two can't have a bad match together.
No, bad commentary, good match.
Bad commentary, yes. Great match. Love these two. I want the full-blown feud between Sasha and Becky on the main roster. I just don't want them to throw the matches away. I want the full-blown feud between these two.
I agree with you on that one. We then bring it to the main show, and it opens up with the ladder match for the WWE Tag Team Championships. New Day came out. They told us what they would look like on a box of Wheaties. Go, New Day, go.
Go, New Day, go. Put up your horn, y'all. Here comes New Day.
This was a spot fest. This was good. We had the monkey flip 450 by the Lucha Dragons, which was well-timed. The one thing I liked from the match, Woods was making references to his team resting like it would be in WWE 2K16. They're resting. They're recharging. Even they had specials in the bank. I thought that was clever.
Up, up, down, down.
For real. We then had the moment. God, don't be... Anyway, I'm gonna put the recap over that for a moment. Get to that distraction. She's trying to distract me as I do this.
What?
Salida Del Sol off the top of the ladder.
Holy crap. I mean, that's all you could say. Well, you could say something a lot more, but we're trying to keep this PG. Holy crap, I think is the best way to describe that. That's a move of the year contender right there.
Holy shnikes. Yeah, that was... I mean, we see ladders break, but this one just went right in half. Like, right in half.
The hard way.
The hard way. And, alright, whatever Uso was, I think it was Jimmy who took the back bump. Big props to him. But Kalisto, my legs hurt when I'm just spreading them like that. Ow.
Yeah, I'm kind of there. It's like you watch that move and you're like, you just cringe.
Because you can't practice something like that.
No, you can't. You gotta do that once, and you gotta hope you get it right.
I mean, they probably practice it on crash pads, but doing it on a ladder? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that had to hurt. Again, bad commentary from Michael Cole. He didn't know which one was Kalisto, which one was Sin Cara at one point. When Xavier Woods is correcting you, you know you have a problem.
Yeah.
Big E.
To say the least.
Yeah. Big E powerlifted the ladder up at different points. And it was Xavier Woods throwing the trombone at Kalisto, which allowed the New Day to pick up the win.
I can't be mad at that. Trombone for the win.
Trombone.
Can't be mad at that.
Trombone for the win. So New Day retains the tag team titles. We then move to Ryback versus Rusev. As my notes say, it was a match.
Okay. I just want to set this up for everybody. So I was in Europe for like 12 days on assignment. mm-hmm. on assignment, in quotations.
Yes.
So I came back Saturday. I didn't get home till probably 11:30 Saturday night, and I had been up for about 24 hours at that point. Slept a little bit into Sunday. Watched this pay-per-view. I remember about half of it. I don't remember this match happening.
It was a match.
It was a match. And that's not a shot at them. It's just, it was a match. I don't remember it happening. So, it was there.
Rusev tried to leave. Ryback brought him to the ring. Lana got hurt. She banged into him. Distraction. Ryback blocked the Accolade at one point. Shell Shock blocked Accolade. Rusev wins. Rusev crushed the Ryback.
I'm not sure if I should be happy about that or not.
I don't know. At least Lana's back.
Yay, Lana.
Who is not back is Coulter, as he's no longer with us on television. But we did have the battle for his love. Del Rio and Swagger in a chairs match for the U.S. title.
The fact that I'm not going to get Jack Swagger carrying Zeb Coulter off, screaming, I will always love you, makes me so sad.
That makes us sad.
Makes me sad.
Swagger did a promo basically as I summed it up. I do it for the Zeb. I do it for the people. I guess. This was the start of the let's just throw chairs at people night.
What is up with that? Seriously, what is up with that? Let's just like toss a chair on top of somebody. You hit people with a chair. I understand you cannot hit them in the face anymore with the chair, but there are other places on the body that you can hit them with the chair.
And then
why are we just like throwing chairs on top of people? Now, I will say Del Rio spiking the chair on Swagger was effective.
It was.
But just like gently tossing the chair on there, it's like, dude, what? You're trying to bury him with a chair?
Like you were just throwing chairs on chairs, not hitting the actual person.
It's a chairs match.
I know.
Who's the chair? Be the chair.
We had the Swagger use the chair for the ankle lock. Swagger bomb for a two count. And then Del Rio hit the double stomp on two chairs. Looked really dangerous. But he's okay. For the win, Del Rio retains.
Somebody needs to like get Finn Balor to show Del Rio how to do the double stomp.
Or he can just stop doing the double stomp.
No, I'd like him to learn.
You like him to learn?
I want him to learn.
Okay.
I feel like Balor does it so much better.
He does. That's the thing. I want it to be Balor's move, not Del Rio's.
Well, yeah, I want it to be Balor's move, so when Balor comes up, Del Rio can stop. But until that time, you know, have Balor be like, this is how you do it.
Right. This then brings us to the 8-man tag team elimination tables match. Team ECW, Rhino, Tommy Dreamer, and the Dudley Boys taking on the Wyatt family, Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, and Braun Strowman. This was fun.
This was a lot of fun. I will say, as good as this match was, the one on Raw was better.
The one on Raw was better, that is for sure.
I kind of like the fact that they had an Extreme Rules match on Raw versus a tables match on Raw, or on the pay-per-view. So, and I get, it's TLC. I understand. Somebody's got to get the tables match, somebody's got to get the chairs match, somebody's got to get the ladders match, and somebody gets all three. I get that. But it's like, to me, they did a great job on this pay-per-view with it. I felt really supremely bad for Eric Rowan because he was the only member of the Wyatt family that got eliminated.
Yeah, via 3D.
Via 3D, and he got eliminated early.
Which was in the one spot. Devon rolled off the table with Eric Rowan's name on it. It broke. So Bubba screamed out, keep him busy, while they got the new table in the ring.
Yeah. Yeah, they had to redo the spot. I felt so bad for Eric. It's like he didn't even get to go through the table with his name on it.
No, he didn't. Strowman just drove his boot through the table, but he had to be put through the table to be eliminated, or both feet.
I was sitting here yelling at the TV, if it counts for Big Show, it counts for Strowman.
She did yell that. She did. Rhino was eliminated via Luke Harper's boot. Devon was eliminated via the spider sit-up and then the spike through the table by Bray Wyatt. Tommy Dreamer was eliminated via Flying Luke. Air Harper, Flying Luke. And we had then Bubba 3-on-1 against the Wyatt family. He holds his own for a few minutes, teases the flaming table, puts a lighter fluid on, then gets put through the table by Strowman. No flaming table, but nice tease. Wyatt family win.
I think this was the moment I realized that they're trying to just kill Bray Wyatt. Like, they're just putting him in every single dangerous situation they can possibly think of, because why the hell not?
Because why not, yeah.
Because he's probably, he'll do it. Let's be honest. He's like, yeah, okay, I'll do that. Flaming table? Yeah, sure, why not? Because he's probably just like, yeah, let's do it. So it's like, they're just putting Bray Wyatt in every possible dangerous situation there is, but this match made me super happy because we finally got the Wyatt family that dismantled the Shield.
Yes.
Back. We got to see that Wyatt family Sunday night. We got to see them Monday night where they just like took people apart and they just fought and they were vicious and they kind of almost went back to that core of what they were when they first debuted, which was really nice to see.
It was.
Because I've been missing that Wyatt family.
And now it's sort of coming back together.
They're kind of hitting their groove again. They're getting their stride. They're booking them strong, which is what you want, to have them sort of start to rise in prominence, because again, you're going to have them rise in prominence to create opponents for other people, because somebody's got to be...
We need opponents.
We need opponents. We need heels. We need bad guys. And well, Bray Wyatt and the boys seem perfectly adept at doing that.
Yeah, they're able to play bad guys really, really well. Which then moves us on to the Intercontinental, speaking of bad guys, brings us to the Intercontinental Championship match. Kevin Owens, Dean Ambrose, and the line of the night from Kevin Owens. Sports! Yeah!
Oh, bless Kevin Owens. Bless him so much.
I have to get that clip for Omega, because that describes Omega. Sports! Yeah!
Yeah!
Fake in this. Yeah, go ahead.
Match was great.
This was very, very, really, really good. The finishing sequence was amazing. Powerbomb no, Dirty Deeds no, Powerbomb no. Ambrose does the cross. Hopefully this works. Dirty Deeds. Owens gets his fingers on the rope. I thought that the cross was funny. Like, please,
yeah.
Please work. Please work.
Please God, let this work.
And he got the finger on the rope.
It counts.
It does count. It does count. Many fans were like, what happened? Oh, he got his finger. Oh, okay. Papa Powerbomb one more time. No. Hurricanrana pin. New champ. Dean Ambrose.
Everybody was super excited for this. Me included, it's a long time coming for Ambrose. I wish it was the main title. I really do, but very happy to see him with the IC title. This sets him up in a position to eventually challenge for Roman's title.
Yes,
spoiler alert, if you live under a rock, Roman Reigns is your new WWE champion as of Monday.
As of Monday, yes.
But great match between Owens and Ambrose. I want more of these. I want a full-blown feud between these two. I want a serious feud between these two. I want them to beat the crap out of each other and then become drinking buddies.
That works for me.
Because I swear to God, that's what would probably happen in real life.
Probably would.
They would just gain each other's respect and then if you want to go get a beer, sure. Let's go get a beer.
Let's get a beer. Divas title was on the line, Charlotte and Paige. I thought they had a good match.
Good match. I thought Becky and Sasha was better.
Becky and Sasha was better. As the mustard's on the run.
Run, mustard, run! God, mustard's really running, man. Dude!
Comes up. Mustard comes up short.
Oh, that was targeting! That was so targeting! Do they do targeting on the main roster? Or on the main?
No.
Damn it! That was targeting! Number 24, I see you! I see you!
Almost 100-plus-yard kickoff return for a touchdown in the football game. Mustard versus ketchup.
Ketchup's getting main.
And that was a clean... That was fine. There was no intent there. That was fine.
He dropped his head.
No, he didn't. He went right into his chest. That was fine. That was a side tackle. That was fine. There was nothing wrong with that tackle.
Looked like targeting.
No, it wasn't. Anyway, back to the match.
And Mustard's coach is very excited.
Yes. Anyway, seriousness now. Not really. Good match. I thought they worked well together. Becky and Sasha was a better match. These two had a good match, told a good story, and Ric Flair was at ringside. He played a factor. He, at one point, pulled the turnbuckle off, referee stopped him. That came into play. Charlotte removed the turnbuckle at the very end, and threw Paige in there, picked up the win. Should note, Team Bad was dressed as Team PCB in the back, which was funny.
Which was amazing.
Yeah, I thought this was a good match.
My only problem with this match, and this is more of a generic problem, is I'm not 100% okay with him having Ric Flair come out with Charlotte as much as he is.
Right.
It's like, I get that they want to do the tie-in, that she's Ric Flair's daughter, that's fine, but I'd rather see her get over on her own merits.
I think, this is just me. me speculating. This is sort of, let's make nice with the Flyers over the Reed stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it.
You want to establish Charlotte as a heel? Great. It's working fine. I think having Ric Flair there is just smoothing things over and basically trying to let, with him being there, things won't get out of hand. She has a voice to talk to. I think that's what his usefulness is right now. She has a sounding board. If she doesn't like something, he can go in and probably get it changed.
But the thing is she should be able to do that on her own.
She should be, but no one in the back likes to do that, so that's why a guy like Ric Flair comes in handy. That's just my thinking on it.
But for stuff like this, I wish would let her do it on her own.
I agree. The match was fine. It was really, really good. Which brought us to our main event, WWE title, TLC, Sheamus and Roman. The best spot of the match was the white noise through a table off the steel steps. I thought that was the best spot of the night. Fans started their own chants, Daniel Bryan, NXT, yada, yada, yada.
Which was a little rude.
Roman Reigns was getting up the ladder, and then, oh, look at that, it's the League of Nations, Sari and Rusev, they come out and interfere. They're stopping him. Roman fights back. Roman gets back in, gets fought off, bro kick. Roman can't get back up. Sheamus retains the title. Good spot.
Great spot.
Then we had the League of Nations celebrate. Roman spears them, whacks them all with chairs. Authority comes out. Triple H takes his tie off. Roman attacks Hunter with chairs. Powerbombs Hunter on the table. Didn't break. I went ow because that looked like it hurt.
I think everybody went ow because the table was supposed to break. The table didn't break.
So they went to plan B, and that's a running elbow through the table.
Which again, ow.
Yeah. Didn't feel good at all. And then officials were helping Hunter up. Roman's leaving. Runs back. Spears lays out the boss. I thought the ending was really, really well done.
Excuse me. Yeah, I would agree with that. It's called it, number one. And he won't admit I was right, but called it.
Called it, right?
So, I like that they had Roman snap. I like that we finally saw him show any kind of aggression whatsoever.
Right.
It's like he's finally fed up with it. He's had enough of, you know, dealing with the authority, of dealing with the League of Nations, of getting ever so close and then falling short. I like that that finally got to him.
I agree.
Because it's about time.
It is about time.
The only thing I didn't really like is, you know, I'm kind of on board with everybody saying the message that it sends, which it's, okay, you know, Hunter, I mean, in terms of beating up the League of Nations, that's fine because the League of Nations tried to screw Roman.
Yes.
In terms of beating up Hunter, Hunter technically didn't do anything in the match. He walked out to come out to congratulate,
He came out to get Roman out of the ring. That's all he did.
Out to get Roman out of the ring. That's right. And then Roman just snaps and attacks him, which makes Roman look like a bad loser.
It did make him look like a sore loser. It was a good angle, but it made him, if you think about it, made him look like a sore loser.
And this is a guy that you're trying to get over as the baby face, and you have him pull a heel move, which is attack Hunter. Beat up Hunter, which, you know, of course gets him over because it's Hunter's getting his ass kicked. So it's like everybody's like, oh, yay! You know, but in reality, it's like it makes Roman look like a really sore loser because, yeah, it's like you got screwed by the League of Nations and you beat up the League of Nations. You got your retribution on them. But Hunter's coming out to get you out of the ring. That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, he's a jerk. Yeah, he's probably irritated you, but he wasn't involved in this match.
He did not screw you.
He did not screw you directly. Might have been indirect, but not directly that we as fans have been told. So it's like, you know, beating him up. It's like, I mean, it was a cool moment. It was a good moment. It was effective. It got Roman over, which was the whole point of it.
That part worked.
But just the message that it sends, I'm not 100% okay with it. Because it's like, again, it's, I would understand better if Hunter had tried to screw Roman.
I agree.
But, so, Roman Reigns loses a TLC, but wins the next night on Raw.
Which was a very, very well done night of Raw.
Yeah, very, very good Raw.
Go to wildtalkradio.com, listen to the Raw post-show, which airs every Monday, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. We talk all about what happened there.
Yes, but I say we take our second and final break of the evening.
As we go to break, we both went 4-3.
Hey, did we beat the Magic 8-Ball?
Well, we didn't do a show, so we couldn't compete against the 8-Ball.
We beat the eight ball!
Technically.
Just go with me on this. Okay?
Okay.
We beat the eight ball.
Hey!
Never mind, it wasn't playing. We beat the eight ball.
The eight ball failed to get their picks in on time.
Yes. There we go.
Let's go.
For those of you that are new to our show, we do pick them, and we have a magic eight ball that does pick them. And we usually get beat by the Magic 8-Ball. So this time, we have beaten the Magic 8-Ball.
That we did.
Twice.
Hey.
Did not do a show last week.
Yeah. Anyway.
So.
Let's go to break. Go to break.
Yes. When we come back, we will be doing Tweet of the Week. And we will be talking about last night's exciting NXT TakeOver London. We'll let you know who won, who lost, break down all the matches for you. And so much more. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gang bang or something.
Techno gang bang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, work schedule and whatnot. But,
watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then. What the fuck?
Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing up at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse you
have. Gundam style.
Not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Sumi in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Right on.
That 800 million. Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. Wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Before the ball drops to 2016, the Rack looks back at 2015.
Hello, John. Now, I would introduce myself, but You know exactly who I am, don't you? And if anybody out there doesn't know who I am, well, quite frankly, those people are simply not worth my time in the first place.
Hold on one second. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to do this right. NXT champion, Kevin Owens.
We will count down the best moments in wrestling in 2015.
What does Bayley have in mind?
God! God! Here we go! Bayley! Bayley belly! Bayley to belly for the title! Bayley's done it!
Along with looking ahead to what is to come in 2016.
Here's your winner and the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion, representing the Wyatt family, Bray Wyatt!
Pop Goes the Rack, available on New Year's Eve, right here on RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And the fine folks over at Gerwick.net, we're working on a slogan for them, but check them out, Gerwick.net. They're awesome. And now we're going to take a little, like, mini break. This is our sort of fun spot in the show, if you're not familiar with us, where we do this little thing called Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Hold on, it's loading. But for those of you that aren't familiar, while I wait for my phone to pull everything up, because for whatever reason it doesn't want to load right now, we do this little thing called Tweet of the Week, where we go on Twitter and we find our favorite tweets of the week and we sit here and we read them off, because why not? It actually started with Sheiky Tweet of the Week.
And then evolved into Tweet of the Week.
And then evolved into regular Tweet of the Week. So, first things first, Bray Wyatt. Cracker Barrel fights for the cause, and it's a picture of a black rocking chair with his name on it. Cracker Barrel sent Bray Wyatt his own rocking chair.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome. So, Sheamus tweeted, and this is a back and forth between Sheamus and Kevin Owens. Sheamus tweeted, "I agree, belts look so much better on real men, real Irish men." Kevin Owens responded, "They're not belts, they're titles, pay attention." To which he replies, "Meh, titles, belts, title belts. Good burn though, Fred. Come back a wee bit slow. I won my title quicker." And the quotations are around title. To which Kevin replies, "You put the wrong word in brackets. Let me fix it for you. I won my title quicker." There you go. Much better. "Cheers, bud. Your title will be in the League of Nations sooner or later. Sign up or give up. Is this your way of asking me to come discuss global warming with you guys at your next meeting?" Sheamus then tweets a picture of himself with his title pointing at himself, and it says this. And Kevin replies, "I'm confused. Which poor decision on your head slash face are you pointing at? Well, if I had a head like yours, we Kev, I'd shave me dog's arse and teach him to walk backwards. If you had a head like mine, you'd be a lot better at Twitter, fellow. I've told you, this is awesome.
I know.
Can't believe you jeered me hair and beard, though. We agreed no hair jibes, and I'd stay away from fat jokes. Not cool. I meant the piercings. You just brought the hair and the beard on your own. And this is just Kevin Owens talking about his merchandise, which is amazing. It's basically him talking about the little picture frame thing that WWE Shop puts out with his, you know, like, little stand-up picture on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, finally, you can put your pictures of your favorite memories in a frame that has me looking at you in disgust on it. The purple really captures who I am, too.
I bet it does.
He looks so pretty. Bray Wyatt tweeted Chad Dukes, because this is how Bray Wyatt wishes somebody happy birthday. Congratulations on surviving another year in a world that only wants you to suffer for the crimes of our forefathers committed. That's how Bray Wyatt wishes somebody
happy birthday. That is how he wishes someone happy birthday.
Yeah. Kevin Owens. Somebody tweeted him and asked him why, you know, his new action figure looks so sad. And he said, I was sad that day because let me reread that because, you know, I can't read right now. I was sad the day they did the scan because I realized that morning that I'd never be able to own a pet penguin.
Aww.
And lastly, from Seamus, spoiler alert everybody for Star Wars, he's not in it.
What? Definitely not seeing that now. Definitely not.
By the way, speaking of trailers that dropped that you didn't tell me dropped,
oops.
Alice in Wonderland. You didn't tell me Alice dropped.
Did it?
Yeah, it did.
See, I didn't even know that.
He didn't tell me about Turtles, and he didn't tell me about Alice Through the Looking Glass.
I didn't know that one. How am I supposed to tell you?
Can't take you anywhere.
Oh, well, you can't take me anywhere. Really? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Really?
Really? Really?
Seriously. Read your tweets.
Oh, is that a command now?
Yes.
Okay. Gus Ramsley, if that happened to me and Matt and I'd be shopping for a new PS4 controller and TV tomorrow. #Lions, when they lost at the very end on a Hail Mary. 97 Fanatic, this was on the New England game, early on. Another penalty, another punt. #ThingsEaglesDoWell. Spike Eskin, I think Deuce Daly himself may actually be faster than DeMarco Murray. Could be. 700 level. Eagles are great when the offense doesn't take the field. Spike Eskin, Jahlil Okafor punched Boston fans first. Eagles second. Ooh. Ruben Frank, press box announcer Gillette just announced touchdown pass from Tom Brady too. Not this time, Sparky. Not this time.
Not this time. Are you sure? Are you positive? Because I mean, it could be an entirely a possibility that, you know, that's totally going to happen. Because I totally wasn't paying attention.
I know.
Entirely.
I know. I sneeze. So sue me.
Ah.
Eden goes. I was going to do a Q&A, but then I remembered how to work my brain again. Phew. Close one. Stardust replied, I'm still asking a question. Are you John Cena? She replied, if I'm always got questions this good, I consider doing Q&A's again. Kyle Scott, Crossing Broad, am I rooting for Greg Hardy? God, now I know what it feels like to be a cockroach. Kevin Cooney, Phillies will expand the protective netting at Citizens Bank Park and strengthen it. Bob Vitrone replied, Phillies analytic department suggests just hitting fewer foul balls. That would be a smart thing. Not SportsCenter. Ah. Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown was fined $11,576 by the NFL for illegally attempting to hump a goalpost without taking it on a date first. Kyle Lewis, Dean Mysterio Jr. just won the IC title. #WWTLC. Lance Storm, having a gimmick where you wear a protective vest was the smartest thing Roman Reigns ever did. It was. Kyle Lewis, keep it 5-star. The boss is here, said Michael Cole and Raw. I'm sorry, Cole, but Mr. McMahon looks nothing like Sasha Banks. He really doesn't. 3-Man Booth, get your win, Eric Rowan. Know yourself. Know your worth. #Extreme. #Raw. 3-Man Booth, no, seriously, is Vince dead? He's off the apron and just on the floor. #Raw. I know Dash and Dawson meant Tickle Me Enzo to be an insult, but that'd be a big seller in WWE Shop. I think it actually probably would be. Cage Seats, I like to think Enzo and Kaz came up with their offense after a night of heavy drinking. Wrestling? Nah, bro, just throwing at people. Probably true. 3-Man Booth, I'm going to assume the next NXT TakeOver crowd is going to say, it's saying, hug him up, Bailey, hug him up. 3-Man Booth, hug the next person next to you. Bailey needs your energy. Hashtag NXT TakeOver. John Cena, if you're around the theater this weekend, go see the movie with an S, T, and R in it, in the title. See you at Hashtag Sisters Movie. Raymond Booth, Samoa Joe's yoga looks a lot more painful than DDP yoga. Hashtag Baylor vs. Joe. Keep it 5-star. Something tells me Bailey choke out method won't work on Samoa Joe. This is true. And, WWE Creative Fish. Audra, you're going to see Star Wars tonight. So you could do us a favor and leave your TVs on sci-fi. Hashtag reasons to watch SmackDown. And Big E, 3 years ago today, I debuted as a silent, emotionless bodyguard. Things have changed a little bit. Yes. Yes, they have.
A bit. Just a bit. But is that it? Maybe?
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
I was clearing out my tweets. Yes, that's it.
Well, then I say we do TakeOver because I'm excited to talk about this one.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about for TakeOver, which aired on the WWE Network yesterday afternoon, yesterday night, whenever you watched it. It was at night at some point for somebody when they watched it. So Taker started out with Triple H coming to the ring and saying, I've got my ass kicked before, but nothing was going to stop me from being here tonight.
He has to be there for his kids.
He does. He does. And that brought us to Asuka versus Emma in an awesome, awesome opener.
This is great. This was everything you wanted it to be and more. My only complaint, Dana Brooke needs to pull it back just a little bit.
Dana's going to work out to be a good manager someday.
She's going to work out to be a good manager, but she just, in this match, it's like she almost... was distracting a little bit too much from the match, and it's like it was hard to focus on Emma and Asuka, and they were putting on such a really, really great performance that it's like, okay, Dana, all right, so just step back for a second.
Yeah,
Let them do the thing.
We had Asuka going to kill you chance right away. She got a nice reaction when she came out. And the move of the match was the flying butt smash.
Yes.
It was kind of awesome. We had Asuka's chant in the form of Ole, which is awesome. Emma slowed the pace down, keeping Asuka on the ground, pounding on her. Nice mystical dropkick from Asuka. Hard kicks. More flying butt smash. Missed the back fist. Jack Knight cover. Two count. Back fist connected this time. And then more flying butt smash, a.k.a. the running hip attack. I just like calling it the flying butt smash. Sounds so much better than running hip attack.
Yes.
We had the dilemma by Emma. We had the butterfly suplex into the turnbuckles by Emma. We had the Emma Mite sandwich by Emma for a two count. She had the ankle lock. The Emma lock turned into the ankle lock by Asuka. German suplex from Asuka out of the ankle lock. Running kick to the face, two count. Asuka lock. Emma pulls the ref into the corner. We had the ref bump. Oh no, the crowd's going, no, 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 don't screw her, don't screw her. We like her, don't screw her. So Dana throws her belt into the ring. And well, Asuka has the belt. Oh no, the ref sees it. No, don't DQ the thing. Don't do the thing. Don't DQ her. And they didn't, thankfully. Asuka lock. Dana got tossed. She was trying to get back in the ring to distract the referee. Referee was like, no, you're gone. Go. Bye. See you later. Asuka turns around. Emma has the thing. Spin kick. Down goes Asuka. Down goes Emma. Your winner. 1, 2, 3. Asuka.
Great. Great match. Asuka is such a live crowd wrestler, which I know they all are, but she really thrives on a really hot, crazy crowd. She keeps whipping them up, and I love that she was doing that in this match, because they were super into the whole show, pretty much, but she just kept stirring them up and stirring them up and stirring them up this whole time.
She would just pump up the crowd, keep them, come on, get in the middle, stop her foot, wave their arms, just getting people excited, and it was really, really well done. I thought it was an excellent opener. I thought they had a really, really fun and exciting match to these two. I thought it was good. Really good.
Great match.
Tag titles were on the line. Dawson and Dash, or Dash and Dawson, the hell everyone say, against Enzo Mori and Big Cass. Holy shnikes on the pop for Enzo and Cass.
Yeah. You haven't heard anything until you've heard 10,000 Brits, or mostly Brits,
say, how you doing?
How you doing? And chanting soft. In your accent.
Yeah, the English accent doing soft. Yeah, that was pretty awesome. They were over so much that Big Cass was sung in the style of Hey Jude. That was very, very creative. Is your connection was breaking up for a second, so I'm just going to cut you off for just a second. Hopefully that clears up. I know, we were going so strong, and then your connection went, and smash. So
It's tired,
yes. There we go, we're back in business.
We're back? Okay. So I was sitting at my desk at work listening to this show, because I actually had to watch it twice, once to actually see the wrestling and first time to listen to it, because I wanted to watch it live, but they aired it at 3.
Yes.
And I was at work. And it was like, well, this is going to be awkward. So yay, WWE Network on the phone. Yay. So I was sitting at my work and they started to do the Hey Jude chant. I was like, what?
Did I just hear what I thought I heard? Yeah. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So points for creativity on that.
What was Enzo wearing? Who the hell knows?
Okay, I rewatched it. So he started out with overalls.
Yes.
And at some point, the over part came undone to reveal a British flag.
Yes.
So I don't know from there, but
yeah. So who wears leather overalls?
Enzo Amore.
Enzo Amore. Enzo was dominant early and very, very aggressive. Cast threw Dash and Dawson into one another, then Air Enzo attempt champs bail, then Air Enzo as Cast just tossed Enzo out of the ring. Then we have more, oh, let's go, Amore chance. Dash and Dawson worked over the arm of Enzo for a while. We hit the Gorebuster, ref didn't see the tag, made them re-tag, 2 count on Enzo. Enzo was trying to make the hot tag, couldn't get there. One point, Kaz got shoved off the ropes when he was going for a tag. Finally, the big hot tag, Kaz runs wild. Swinging sidewalk slam, Wilder breaks it up. Dawson chop blocked the injured leg of Big Kaz from earlier on, a few weeks ago. Reverse figure four. Enzo tries to break it up, gets taken out with a big clothesline and spun him inside out. Kaz fought to the ropes, eventually got there. Enzo shoved Dawson off the ropes. Schoolboy, 2 count. Air Enzo, 2 count as Dawson pulls Enzo out of the ring. Dawson had got his hands on Carmella. And then we had the double team spot. Sort of like a suplex codebreaker type thing. And your winners and still tag team champions, Dash and Dawson.
Okay. Supremely disappointed that Enzo and Cass, once again, did not win. But phenomenal match. Very well done by everybody involved. I liked how Enzo and Cass were more focused. They were more aggressive, which they needed to be, given what the feud has been, where, you know, basically they had the mechanics be responsible for Cass's knee getting messed up. So, you know, you have them coming back for retribution. You have them coming back for revenge. They took it to the mechanics. The mechanics gave it right back. This was a really hard-fought match, and just great job by everybody involved.
The theme of this show, and it circles through the entire show, heels are heels, faces are faces, and it lets them tell a good story throughout the night.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Apollo Crews took on Baron Corbin. To me, this was the weakest of the 5 matches on the show. The line of the night goes, Corbin is doing a lot of trash talking, including saying to Apollo Crews, "You should have stayed in Ring of Honor." Never was in Ring of Honor.
I actually had to ask him. It's like, wait, did he say he should have stayed in Ring of Honor?
Yeah, he did say that. And then I look it up, like, no, he was involved, never in Ring of Honor. Told him to stay, should have stayed home in the U.S. Did a lot of trash talking. This was a good match. There was a nice moveball off the apron by Cruz. And then it made Twitter go crazy. There was a Botchamania chant.
There was.
Also, throwback to the 90s. Whoop, there it is. Nope. Cruz, there it is. That was creative. I like that.
That's kind of the theme for the chance. Points for creativity.
End of days, no. Kick, standing moonsault, 2 count. Sit out, powerbomb, no. End of days, Baron Corbin wins.
Which was really actually kind of surprising.
I was surprised by that one. Really, really was. But yeah, solid match between the two. Weakest of the 5. We had a hype video for the return of Sami Zayn next week.
Yay!
He cuts an amazing promo on the WWE YouTube channel. Go watch it. It's awesome. Speaking of stuff on that, we'll get to that in a second. Nia Jax starts to cut a promo, gets the evil, evil stare, the I'm gonna kill you stare from Asuka.
Yes!
Nia then went back to cutting her promo, says she's gonna do a Bayley, what she's done to every woman, and dominate and destroy. Now, circling back really quickly, back to Asuka. You need to go out of your way and watch a video on the WWE YouTube channel featuring Emma, Dana Brooke, and Asuka. Asuka comes in as Emma's getting worked over by the trainer. She starts mocking Emma's little dance and all that fun stuff. I was like, oh my god, this is why Asuka is amazing.
I love Asuka so much.
And then we had NXT Women's Championship, Bayley versus Nia Jax, and holy shnikes for the pop for Bayley.
If you ever doubt for a second that Bayley is anything less than a star, watch this match. Because yeah, huge pop, huge reaction, they were chanting for. They loved her. She is over as a mother. It was just, yeah, it was a great, great reaction for Bailey. And what's nice to see is Bailey is embracing it. She's embracing being the face of the women's division and really one of the faces of NXT.
She's becoming the number two face of the brand.
And she's very comfortable in that role, you can tell. She's really coming into her own, and that's awesome to see.
Oh,
because
is.
She'll take that comfort level, having been exposed to it, up with her when she goes to the main roster.
And watching Breaking Ground like I have, they show her, or we've seen pictures of her, you know, working, you know, as an agent on matches. They show her doing that all on the shows. It's like, she's learning this business inside out. She's got a really strong head on her head. Yeah. She's awesome. She's amazing. She's a star. If you don't believe it, watch the stuff she does. She made Nia Jax look like $1 million.
She did. This was like, we were sitting here, I remember sitting here thinking about this match, and it's like, God, how are they going to do it? Because Nia is so much bigger than Bayley.
Right. We had the conversation the night before. It's like, she can't hit the Bayley to belly. She can't do it. So what is she going to do? And we'll get to what she did, but it's like, ooh, this match.
And she doesn't, and we were sitting here going, and she doesn't have a submission move.
No, because the only time she did a submission was when she countered Sasha, but she doesn't
have
a
bank statement.
Yeah, she doesn't have a move of her own.
She does now.
She does now, which we'll get to. This was big power showing from Nia Jax early and often. We had the, hey, Bailey, ooh, Chan, and Bailey's gonna hug you, all that fun stuff. We had what looked like a Hell's Gate attempt by, Bailey at one point. She did everything she could to take down Nia. Elbows, drop kicks, flying elbows, anything and everything. Just couldn't get her down. Nia countered, put Bailey on the top rope. Nia got shoved off the ropes. Rolling flip off the top rope, which was nice. Two count. Nia just shoved her, powered her out of the ring. She went flying. Mm-hmm. Three Samoan drops, a leg drop, two count. Three splashes in the corner, gets tossed around the ring. Arm breaker, leg drop, two leg drops, third leg drop, two count. More splashes. More big stuff. And then, Nia Jax puts her on the top rope. The guillotine choke is locked in. Nia gets out. Guillotine choke again. Everyone is on their damn feet in the front row, all over the arena. They're on their feet. They're getting into this. Can she do it? Can Bailey get this done? Guillotine choke again. And the fans are chanting for her to tap. Bailey is screaming for Nia to tap. And you could just see she's trying to power her out of it. Power out of it. She's so... And the force and the pull she has on the neck of Nia Jax from Bailey. She's just using all her might to pull her forward, trying to get her to tap out. And eventually, Nia Jax taps out to Bailey. Yeah, this was really, really well done.
Yeah, they did this right. They planned it right. They executed it right. It's Bailey has to follow up the matches with Sasha Banks. She knows that, and it's Nia Jax, it's not Sasha Banks. So it's not going to have the same feel. It's not going to have the same pace. They understood that, and they really played to Nia's strengths in this. Because, again, Nia is less experienced than Bailey.
Right. This was not a technical classic. Oh, no.
No.
This was great storytelling.
I mean, you had Nia basically throw Bailey around like a rag doll for 10 minutes. Bailey came back and won.
Bailey is the underdog you want to root for.
Yeah.
To me, she even has some Shawn Michaels-esque babyface qualities to her.
I would agree with that.
Because everybody wanted would get into Shawn Michaels' match. Whether you liked her or hated Shawn Michaels, you got into his matches. You believed in him. And that's what Bailey has. Bailey has that it factor where it's like, she is a damn star, and if you can't see it, then you're blind. Because she's going to be amazing for the main roster, if done right. There's so much there.
They're holding her back for a reason. I would expect that Bailey debuts right around WrestleMania. I would say night after is when they decide to bring Bailey up.
Right.
But, I mean, if they do her right, she could be huge on the main roster. You know, in terms of, as we were talking about earlier with having a female commentator, having someone like Bailey, who I call the female John Cena, which is not an apt comparison, but it's the best one I can think of at the moment.
There's no one, you can't really, like, in a way, you can say John Cena because he was the face of WWE. She is the face of whatever the brand should be.
Yeah, she could be a face of your company. She could be, you know, it's like, I can see her doing all the charity stuff, all the Make-A-Wish stuff, all the media, all, you know, everything that's required of that role and doing it splendidly.
Because the qualities she has, she's cute, she's adorable, she has the story. This is the dream. This is the dream she's always wanted to do. And you can put her out there anywhere and let her tell her story to any type of media, anyone. She can tell the story. And she's the role model every little girl wants to be.
And she's likable.
Very much likable.
And by the way, just as a score update, Ketchup just scored. We're now 31-23. St. Louis is winning with about a minute and a half left in the fourth quarter.
Can Ketchup catch up, or will Mustard stand tall? We'll let you know.
But yeah, great, great match for Bayley and Nia. Thoroughly enjoyable.
I feel bad sometimes after watching a Bayley match, like on a takeover, because you're like physically, mentally spent after watching her matches, because that's how emotionally involved you are.
Yeah.
But then it brought us to our main event, NXT Championship, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and Jack the Ripper Demon Finn Balor.
Just Jack the Ripper Demon Finn Balor, holy crap. That was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it was a really cool entrance.
Great entrance. Not as elaborate as some of the other ones he's had, but really great entrance. Love the back piece. It got creepier as he went on.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did.
But Samoa Joe versus Finn Balor, I need this again.
Yes.
I need more of it.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it's Joe and Balor. It's going to be good. You know it's going to be good. You know, again, more fantastic storytelling. This was more of a little bit of a technical wrestling classic, but with some brawling thrown in. They threw each other around, beat each other up. They were in the ring. They were out of the ring. Finn dived. Joe dived.
Yeah, yeah. We had a slap fight. Slap fight in forearms.
Yep.
Coquina clutch. Balor rolled through. Double stomp. Sling blade. Running dropkick. Running dropkick again. Joe fired up. One more running dropkick. Finn to the top. Joe is up. Kick to the head. Fight on the top rope. Coup de grace. Finn Balor wins. I love that when Joe fired up, he's like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. And then just sort of slow down.
Yeah.
It's like, I fired up. And I'm spent.
And I'm done.
They went for about 20 minutes. This was a really, really, really good match. Again, this time the crowd wasn't doing their singing along. They were cheering. They were booing. But they were serious. They were focused. Because this was the main event. This was for the prize. This was for the NXT Championship. And these two had a really, really good match. Finn Balor walks out with the title to end the night. I thought this overall, again, takeover shows, they're fun 2-hour shows.
This one moved. And you can say that about all the takeover shows, but this one, it did not feel like 2 hours, which is what you want. They did a very nice job in terms of booking this out, pacing this out. Everything had time. Nobody was really rushed.
Nothing felt rushed.
Which was what you want. Personally, for me, just in terms of match quality, I felt this was a little bit better than TLC. Just because this felt like it meant something, which it did. But because it's like TLC is like, it doesn't really mean anything.
There's better storytelling on this show.
There's a way better storytelling on this show.
Because what's clear is there's clear defined heels and faces, as we mentioned. On the main roster, some of it's a little bit mishmash. You're not sure who's the heel and who's the face. Here, you know clearly, Joe's the heel, Finn's the face. Nia's the heel, Bayley's the face. The mechanics are the heels, Enzo and Kaz the faces, Asuka, face, Emma, heel, and so on and so forth. That's what it is. So
yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. So that was TakeOver. Really, really fun show.
Good night. Great show.
Good night. We had great 3 days of good wrestling between TLC, Raw, and TakeOver. A lot of good stuff.
Yeah, fantastic. It's going to be kind of like a wrestling hangover now.
Yeah.
As we head to WWE week. So here's hoping that Raw on Monday is good and SmackDown on Tuesday is good. And while we've already seen Tribute to the Troops, we won't go there.
I can't wait for Bo.
Bo Dallas, dressed up as Uncle Sam, is going to be tremendous. Just mark it on your calendars now. Wednesday, Tribute to the Troops. Watch it. But I think we're done.
We are done, and here's where we have a lot of plugs to make. All right. First, we want your questions. Chase, we want your questions for Ask the Rack. Anyone, ask on girlwork.net. We want your questions. Here's how you do it. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lynn's Word. media@wildtalkradio.com is an email. Ask us wrestling-related questions, holiday questions, stupid, goofy questions. If you ask a stupid, goofy question, expect a very sarcastic answer. You can give us on Facebook. If you have us on Tumblr, you give us on Tumblr. But mainly, twitter.com/wildtalkradio, Lynn's Word, or Rack Radio Show, media@wildtalkradio.com. Best ways to get us questions. You have until December 22nd. Yes, December 22nd. I know I just repeated the damn commercial because it's stuck in my damn head. So, give us your questions. We want them. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's our Christmas Eve show. Jingle All the Rack. Available next Thursday, some point during the day, for download on all the websites. Show note, we return live. Let's see. Let's pull up the calendar. We return live on January 7th for the show. Because on the 31st, it is Pop Goes the Rack, our New Year's Eve special. So, no live shows until January 7th, when SmackDown debuts on the USA Network. But we are not stopping with content. Okay, that's all out of the way. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Rack Radio Show. Check out the website, rackradioshow.com, youtube.com/rackradioshow. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Search The Rack Radio Show on iTunes. That's how you get us there. Saturday night, though, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We have Subway and Rob's expert NFL picks. We have hashtag Blame Rob. We'll have the TLC Pick'em review. We'll have some fun musical games. Weird news. It's all fun stuff. Video game talk, movies, etc. It is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Saturday night, midnight-ish. CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter and CBRadioLive.com. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, the evolution of online sports entertainment, with Tim Stein, Mace, and Omega recapping the week in pro wrestling. That's Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, at WTR Sunday night on Twitter. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern, recapping everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw. You can follow me on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. You can join us on Facebook group, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Just search out Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm done.
You're done? Okay. You can follow me on Twitter, at LinsWard, LinsWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And we've done a lot of interviews on the show, so if you want to go back, you want to listen to any of our interview archives, including our latest one with the one, the only, Ethan Carter III, go to rackradioshow.com, check those out. And also, we cannot forget our amazing sponsors, pwmania.com, tnasylum.net, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/mbg1211, and of course, the very fine folks at gerwick.net. So, everybody, thank you so much for listening. For Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. We will see you live in the new year, and we will see you next week for Jingle All the Rack and Pop Goes the Rack. Don't want to miss that. Till then, bye everybody.